Hello everyone, you're the courageous who come to a session about Blend on a Friday at 4 p.m. So, yeah! Oh, that's really cool, really cool. I mean, I'm sure we will have fun. My session is titled 100% Fidelity, and I just betrayed, we are going to talk a lot about Expression Blend, but not only, okay? Blend is just one of the techniques that we use to do what we do. So my name is Laurent Bugnon. I work for IdentityMind. We are a firm specialist in user experience. And that means that we work on a ton of good, really cool stuff. We do applications for Windows Phone, WPF, Silverlight, Microsoft Surface, Kinect, Windows 8. What did I forget? Yeah, that's about it. We also do stuff on other platforms such as iOS. And in this job, we deal with a lot of XAML, and today I'm going to talk to you quite a lot about XAML and how to make it work. In this session, we'll talk about Blend quite a lot. I'm going to show tips and tricks, stuff that I use in my everyday job when I integrate what the designers give me. We will talk also about blendability and using design time data. So first of all, let's do a little bit show of hand. How many designers in the room? Wow. Hey, ooh, that's cool. Yeah, okay, that's great. So we are going to talk quite a lot about designers and how to deal with them. No, seriously. It's a lot about the collaboration between designers and developers. Okay, so great to see designers in the room. I'm really happy about it. And the stuff that I'm going to show you applies to developers, certainly. Just because we have more developers, but it is also very useful for designers. Good. The other show of hands that I was interested to know is how many people were at my session yesterday? And really, I'm not offended if you were not. It's just so that I know if I should repeat a few things. Okay, so half approximately. So I'm going to just repeat a few things, but that should be okay. First disclaimer is that I'm sick. I have a cold, so I'm going to cough a little bit during the session. I'm awfully sorry about that. Second disclaimer is a real one. I'm not a Microsoft employee, and I don't play one on TV. I am actually working for IdentityMind full-time. I work a lot with Microsoft, but everything you hear today, especially things about Windows 8, are my own opinion only. That had to be said. So, Expression Blend. What is actually Blend? Blend is an interesting tool because it is positioned a little bit in the middle of the design development landscape. So if you work with designer or if you are a designer, you know that you guys, you know, the designers love Adobe tools. This is Photoshop, but we also use Illustrator, Fireworks quite a lot. Those are really the three big names that are used in design nowadays. Photoshop is fantastic, Illustrator as well. You can do a lot of things. It's not a development environment, though. It's really a drawing tool, a very advanced and expensive drawing tool, but it does pictures, right? At the other end, you have Visual Studio. And again, Visual Studio is not a design tool. It has a designer, but you cannot do as much as you can in Blend. You can develop your code, you can debug it, and all that. And one of the problems of the industry is that for a long time there was a big disconnect between both. I'm sure that you all experience the same, especially if you're a web developer or web designer, where basically you design your site, you give it to the developer, and the developer tends to pull his hair because he won't be able to apply the design to the real site. Okay? And there are two reasons for that. One reason is the limitation of the platform itself. HTML, it's a little bit better now, but for a very long time was very limited in what you can do graphically. Okay? It was a bit slow. It was you had many browsers still work with GDI as drivers, so you cannot, for example, do rounded buttons. Okay? You can simulate them with images, but they are not really round buttons. Stuff like skewing and putting things on top of videos, for example, for a long time was simply impossible. If you work with WinForms or Windows 32 applications, it's even worse, right? Even, if the designer wanted to even change the color of a button there, it was kind of a headache. So that was a little bit the situation, and this is exactly the gap that Blend is covering. So personally, I don't see Blend as a design tool. It was marketed as a design tool in the beginning, but I think it's really rather an integration tool. Okay? It's not a design tool. You can do some design in Blend. You have tools for that. But I think the design is really made in other tools. It's also not a development environment. Well, it is, kind of, but for example, you cannot debug in Blend. You can write code, you can build, you can run your application, but you cannot debug. And also, even writing code is less comfortable than on Visual Studio. So, Blend is really an integration tool. It is used to take assets that the designers give you and integrate them into the application. Since we have a new tool, at IdentityMind, we also decided to go with a new role. And we did that already back then in 2006, 2007. And the new role, we call that the integrator. So what do they do? Basically, this is a person who sits between designers and developers. Okay? And the integrator is going to be in charge of making the application look exactly like the designer's vision. And this is where we have those 100% fidelity that I was talking about. The integrator, we sometimes hear production designer. It's a term that I don't really like because it kind of implies that the person is a designer by education, which often they are not. We have actually a minority of designers who do integration and rather a majority of developers who do integration. But it needs a person who has kind of both skills, right? Myself, I'm a developer by education, but I've worked with designers for a very long time, and I think I got good eye for design. When I see 3 pixels on the left too much or too little, it really bothers me. I cannot sleep. So that's what you get after a while. For the designers who grow integrator, right, you need to be able to write some code, okay? A web designer probably can do that because usually they double in, you know, they code. I mean, they write HTML. HTML is code, right? So that can work too. I often say that this is a translator between the designer-ish language and the developer-ish language. Okay? Which are two languages, I mean, those professions have their own language, right? I often joke about the fact that when the designer comes and says, hey, I would like that button to be charcoal or silver, all the developer hears he wants a gray button. Okay? So it's not the same. It's really not the same, right? We talk about shades of colors, we talk about pixels, pixel widths, okay? One pixel line is not the same as a 2 pixels line. It will change the look and feel of your application. So you need to be able to understand those differences. And the nice thing about this job is that you own the XAML. You own the view of the application. Okay? So at IdentityMind, we have creative people, designers. I work very, very closely with them. As a professional, I go and seek advice in case of doubt. But the final decision is mine to make. And the reason is mostly because they are super busy on other projects. Okay, so that can happen. Now, if you're a good integrator, you're able to do certain design decisions. Okay? If you're an even better integrator, you know when you cannot, and then you go and ask the designer, and you find a way. Okay? Sometimes I have to take decisions where I say, well, that particular design, I'm sorry, but it won't work. And mostly it has to do with performance. One example, when the Windows Phone first came out, the scrolling on the list box was not very good. It was kind of choppy. And especially if you had complicated data templates, it was hard to scroll nicely. So sometimes we had to go back to the designers and tell them, well, I'm sorry, but that's not going to work. We need to simplify the design. Nowadays, with Mango, it's much better. So that was back then. Usually, I'm very happy to say that I can tell my designers, go crazy, right? And especially when we work with designers who don't know about XAML yet, we need to actually encourage them to be crazy because often they feel limited because they think that the platform is limited. While in fact XAML is really unlimited. You can do pretty much anything you want. Okay? So that's a good thing. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about blendability. I define that as the ability to be edited in Expression Blend or in the Visual Studio Designer. Much of what I'm saying about Blend actually applies to the Visual Studio Designer as well. Okay? So to have blendability, you need two things, really. First of all, you need to understand how Blend runs your code. Okay, Blend is not just a static design tool. It's going to actually execute code. So it's going to load your DLLs inside its own app domain and run code. But it's going to run it in its own context. So of course, you can understand that if you think of a Windows Phone application, for example, which runs in the context of a Windows, of a WPF application, which Blend is, everything is not going to work like you would like. So you need to be able to differentiate in your code if you're running in design code or at runtime. One example, Blend is not able to do web requests, asynchronous web requests. It's going, in the best case, you're going to have an empty screen. In the worst case, you're going to have an exception. Doesn't mean that Blend is crashing. It's just showing a red warning screen. Okay. So in those cases, you need to isolate the code and do something else which makes Blend happy. The other thing you need is the ability to create design time data. Okay, we talked yesterday quite a lot about design time data. I'm going to go back to that in a moment. Here, what we do with design time data is to show something on the screen in Blend so that we can design those parts without having to run the application. And the reason why we do that is because like this we can work faster. Okay, if you don't have to run the application every time, obviously you gain time. Blend is really a very good tool for, especially for certain operations. For example, creating gradients in the Visual Studio Designer is really hard. You have to create them in XAML. You can visualize them, but you cannot really create them. And gradients are not just a series of colors. They are also a vector, right? You have an orientation. Maybe you even have some transparency. We're going to see examples of that. Resource creation and management is facilitated in Blend. For example, creating styles, extracting the values into a style, moving styles in resource dictionaries, organizing them, renaming them, deleting them, these kind of operations. Templating, so every time you do data templates, control templates, in Visual Studio it's hard, you have to go to do the XAML. In Expression Blend, however, you can really do that visually. Animations, I think everybody who tried to write an animation in XAML will agree that it's not the nicest job. And in fact, animations can be really tricky. The shortest animations are the hardest to get right. I've been known to spend a few hours on the 300 milliseconds animation because I just wanted to get it right. And that can change the look and feel of your application tremendously. Okay? If you add some easing, some acceleration, what kind of acceleration you add, that can give a totally different feel to your application. So those animations in Blend are easier to do because you will be able to visualize them on the screen as you design them. And finally, prototyping. There is a cool prototyping tool in Blend called Sketchflow. I'm not going to go into Sketchflow today because it's kind of out of scope for the session. But if you never tried it, you probably should. It's interesting to try, definitely. Just to illustrate what I was saying before, gradients here, you have multiple gradients, and we see that they are not just expressed by a vector in the case of linear. They are not just expressed by colors in the case of a linear gradient, but also by a vector. There is a direction. You can have multiple stops. You can play with transparency, for example, to create some glass effects or some reflections or some shadows, these kind of things. Glass is a little bit less used nowadays in Metro. But we still use that quite a lot, for example, on surface applications, so it can be useful. And of course, you also have radial gradients, and with radial gradients, you can play with the center or also with transparency. And templating, just to show you a little bit what you can do, this is the default button in Silverlight. And, that's one possibility. I'm not sure I'm ever going to use that ever in an application, probably not. But just to say that, okay, and this is an actual round button. If you click in the corner, it's not going to actuate. So you can change the shape, you can change pretty much everything you want. You can even change the behavior of a control by templating it. Okay, so templating is really very powerful. Another example, this is a list control, a list box in the Windows Phone 7. And this is another list control on the Microsoft Surface. Now, both controls, when you use them, are very, very similar. They have item source, they have item template, they have data templates, okay? But the reaction, the way they work, are totally different, okay? The scatter view on the surface, you can move the images around, you can throw them, there is inertia, etc. So this is all achieved by templates. So let's take a look at demos. So what I was thinking is I'm going to jump in Expression Blend. And if I can get my bar back, here we go. And I'm going to show you a few techniques in Expression Blend. And if you have questions, please raise your hands. If you have things that you would like to see that I'm not showing you, please raise your hands. I'm going to start by showing you those gradients. There are a few actually interesting things about gradients that you can show. And of course, showing Blend is always a challenge on a small resolution. So I'm going to do my best so that you can understand. So let's start just with here a rectangle. And what I want to show you is how easily you can create gradients. So here I have the palette for the solid color, and that's well known. Okay, everybody who used a graphics program knows that. Now it's more interesting when I change here. Oh, one thing which is interesting though, using the color eyedropper, you can actually select pictures within the application, but also outside the application. Now, it's not great news. In Photoshop, you can do that as well. For example, if I go here on the chrome yellow, I can select it. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, let's go to gradients. So now that's the default gradient. It has two stops, okay, from black to white. Let me show you the full thing here. And as I told you before, a gradient is really symbolized by a vector. So now you see the vector, which means that now I can easily change this vector. For example, to do something like that, which looks quite a lot different. Okay? On the vector, you can also see the stops, and you can add stops. For example, let's say that I select this one. I'm going to make something, let's do something blue like this. Okay? And now I want here another gradient, and I want to do this a little bit darker for some reason, you know. It's easy to add those stops and to move them around. Now, creating that in XAML would be kind of hard, right? This is a linear gradient here in XAML. So you have to specify the start point and end point for the vector. You have to specify the stops every time a color. So it's really much nicer to do that here. Now, sometimes you get from the designers something like that. Oops. This is a Photoshop drawing. I'm going to open that into... this is a free viewer for Photoshop. It's called Pictus. I'm going to give you the link at the end. Simply because I didn't install Photoshop on Windows 8, I kind of didn't totally trust it. So, and also it's a long process to install. So typically, when you do integration, you kind of need Photoshop because of the layers, right? You need to dig into the layers to get the access to the elements that you want to style. But using that program, you can see the whole thing. In that case, it's going to be enough. So I have my PSD, and I would like to reproduce this gradient on my screen. Well, Blend is really cool in the sense that it helps you to do that. I'm going to try to organize my view like this. I'm going to select here. First of all, I'm going to reset the gradient. Here we go. Okay. And now I'm going to create here a new one. And it's the same. Okay, never mind. I'm just going to select here the gradient eyedropper. I'm going to go on my gradient here. Then I'm going to draw a line on the gradient that I want to select. And immediately it imports that. So that's really cool, I think. Okay. Now this gradient is quite complex. I mean, if you see here the linear gradient brush, right, it has quite a few stops. So getting that correct would be really hard. And it is really a XAML gradient, meaning that I can change it now. I can move it around. I can animate it if I want. It's not just an image, okay? You can, by the way, import things directly in Blend. So, for example, here I can import an Adobe Photoshop file. This is my file. I can open it. But here, Blend is actually going to convert that into an image. which is really not what I want in that particular case. I really wanted to have the XAML. Okay? But you can use Blend to import directly from Photoshop, even if you don't have Photoshop installed. You can even select which layers you want to import. So that's pretty cool. Typically, I use the import from Photoshop or import from Illustrator when I want to have icons in XAML, so as a parse. Okay? And when do you want to do that? Well, typically, you want to do that when you need to change things during runtime about this icon. For example, you want to change the color, or you want to animate it, you know, do some weird animations, let's say. Typically, when you work with icons, otherwise, we tend to rather export them to PNG or JPEG, depending what it is, and then use that directly into the application. And that's purely because of performance. Okay, you get a better performance if you work with a PNG, which is already rasterized, which is already rendered as a bitmap, than when you work with a parse. Okay, but if you want to work with a parse, you can here export or rather import here, and that will work just fine. Okay, so gradients are pretty cool, but you know, let's move on to something which is even cooler. That is, I hope I can show you. Okay, just going to. All right. So let's talk a little bit about styles now. So for styles, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start here a new instance of Blend. And I'm going to create a Windows Phone application. Ah, I think I made a small mistake. I think I created a 7.0 application, which... obviously, nowadays, you don't want that. You want a 7.1. It should be good. Okay. So now what I want to do is show you a little bit how to create styles and how to organize them, because that's important when you work in Blend. First of all, I'm going to add a text block. Let's put it inside the content here. And now, usually when I start integrating things, I design everything without styles. I just go and do everything locally because it's faster. And then I extract my styles. So the first thing I want to do here, I want to center that. I'm going to make it bigger. For example, let's go to 100 pixels. I want to change the font to light. And then I want to change the foreground. And I want my foreground to change when the phone accent brush changes. So this is what you set when you first start your phone. You can select a color. Okay, I have purple, for example, on mine. I think the default is blue. So you can automatically do that by selecting here in the system resources a phone accent brush. Okay, that's the default. Now, wouldn't it be cool if you could, while you design, see how your application looks like with other accent brush? Would be cool, without running the application. Well, you can. There is here, the last tab is called Device. And now in the Device, I can change my color. For example, this is orange. Okay. This is how your application will look like when you use the orange theme. Now, you can do all the things. You can even preview it when it uses a light theme. There is a light theme. Not many people use it, but it's there, right? And that can be very useful. Small anecdote. The very first application that I was working on professionally and that we submitted failed because of a very stupid thing. I designed like that, and I had a text block which was at the bottom. And it was a link. I don't remember exactly what it said. It was probably a link to a support page. Hey, why can I not? Okay. Identity. Yeah, I think I'm not seeing it because it's too... Okay. Let me retype that. Sorry about that. Here we go. Identity. Mine.com. Okay. And it was at the bottom like that, and it was white, and for some reason, For some reason, I'm not sure why, but instead of using the default color, which is going to switch to black when you go to the white theme, I set the color to white. I'm not sure why. It was a mistake. And I forgot that when you go to the white theme, well, we had to do the whole application in a short time, stress. You cannot read it, and that's why they failed my application. Okay? Because you need to be able to read all the information all the time. That's one of the criteria. So, now you can very easily test in Blend and see, hey, there is something which is missing, right? Good to know. You can also test how your application looks like when you go to landscape, which can also be quite useful. And here it goes and tells me, hey, be careful, even though you choose a landscape orientation, your page doesn't support it, so it kind of warns you about it. Okay, so I can do that. I can go select the page, look for orientation, and then I have supported orientations. I'm going to set that to portrait or landscape. Like this, it will switch. Okay, so let's go back to the main topic here, which was styles. So now I have my text block styled, and now I want to extract the style for this. So when I'm happy with my design, I go and I create a new style. So I do here, edit style, create empty. Let's just leave it to text block style 1, though in general you want to use meaningful names for your styles. And you want to use names which describe what they do and not how they look like. Because how they look like is going to change. I can guarantee that to you. Okay? If not in that release, in the next. So, for example, that would be main page, text block style, whatever. Here, I'm just selecting that because I want to show you the rename later. Now, Blend is in the context of the style. So everything I do now is for the style. And now I jump here back to the text block. This is this one here. And I'm going to start importing things in my style. So I say, well, okay, horizontal alignment, yes, this is something that I would like in my style. So I'm going to go here, select this peg, and say convert to local value. Now, the name local value is a bad name because it's not local. I'm taking it into the style, so it's not a local value. But because now I'm editing the style, it is local to what I am now, what I'm doing now. Okay, sorry for the confusion. I didn't write that code. So convert to local value. I can also select here the vertical alignment. I'm going to select the wrapping. Okay. Let's see, what do I have? I have the font size here. Notice that when I select here convert to local value, it's turning white. Okay. Now this is an indication of where the value is set. It's quite useful. In that case, I'm into the style, and if the value is white, it means this value has been set from the style. This value here is not set locally, it's set somewhere else. Okay, in that particular case, it's set on the element itself. So now I can import it, and now it is set locally, it is not set on the other one anymore. Now for the foreground, remember, I have foreground, static resource, phone, accent, brush. So basically, the foreground is going to change based on settings in the phone. Now, if I import that directly, it's going to convert to an actual color, which is kind of annoying because then it's not going to change anymore. However, it's faster. So what I'm doing, I'm usually converting to local value. Now, careful, it's white. It means it's local. And then I'm changing it again to system resource, phone, accent, brush. Now you see it's green now. Green means resource in Blend. Okay? White is local value. Transparent means it's set somewhere but not here. And green means resource. Yellow means data binding. Okay, so now I have my style in my application. And if I remove the tabs, you will see that my text block is now the bare minimum. Okay? So I'm happy. Right? Now let's do a little bit more styling. I'm going to go here, select, so I'm going back to the original here. I'm going to add a row. I'm going to take this text block and move it here. Now, it's really small. Here we go. Now I'm going to add here two columns. I'm going to make those columns take each 0.5 star. 0.5 star means 0.5%. 50%. 0.5. How do you say that? 50% of the whole of the. Okay. let me go back. So the grid system, right? You can set columns. You can set fixed values in pixels. You can set star values, and then you can set auto. So first of all, they are going to set the pixel size. Okay? Then they are going to see what remains. They are going to see if there is a column with auto. Auto is going to auto-size to the content. So if you have a button which is 80 pixels wide, it's going to auto-size to 80 pixels. And then you have remaining columns, and those are going to be distributed according to the star value. So 0.5 star means it's going to use 50% of the width. It's a little bit, you know, you need to get used to it, but it's actually not that hard. Okay, now I want to reset my block here, my text block, to take the whole width. So I'm going to say that the colon span must be 2. Okay, same thing down there. Colon span must be 2. Here we go. And now I'm going to use the rows that I added to add some buttons. So let's make it 80 pixels in height. I can here close the locks. This is becoming now a fixed value. And I can go here to 80. Now I'm going to take one button, two button, select them, right click, auto size, fill. Okay, so like this, they take the whole width and height. Now I would like to style those buttons. So let's take one. I'm going to create here a new style. Oops. By the way, in Blend, you can press on the space bar. It's like in Photoshop also. You can click your mouse and you can move your finger around. It's really cool. I was shown that by a designer back then, and I was using the scroll bars, and then he was like, "Why do you do that?" You know, and I was like, "Well, because I don't know any better, so now I know." Okay. So now I want to create the style for my buttons. I am inside the style, and for example, let's imagine that we want the border brush to be red, the foreground to be red, for some reason, you know, I'm just going to do anything, 20 pixels on the side, just to have a style. Now I can apply the style to the second button by selecting it, going to Object, Edit Style, Apply Resource, and select the style that I just created. Like this, both my buttons have the same style now. Okay? Those styles are created as resources. Now let's take a look at the Resources tab. Here we see that we have the text block style that I created before, and we have the button style. So that's cool. Now one thing we don't really like to do is set a color locally, not even in a style. We like to export colors as resources, because colors are what are, and brushes in general actually, is probably what's going to change the most during the development. So let's do that. I'm going to go back. You see here I have the crumb bar, so-called. So you can jump back to where you were before. I jump back to the style. I am inside the style now. And now I can say this color, this red here, I'm going to export it as a new resource. Okay? Let's call that highlight brush. Everything I do for the moment is local to the page. And now I'm going to use the same resource here, highlight brush. Those are the local resource, those are the system resource. So now I have here this highlight brush, I have my text block style. Another thing that I probably want to export as a resource, maybe not on the phone, but when you do work in Silverlight, you probably want the font family to be also exported as a resource, because this is also probably going to change. So usually you just define 4 or 5 different fonts for your application, like a light one, a bold one, you know, these kind of things. And then you save them somewhere so that they can easily be changed everywhere. So here I'm going to also export that as a new resource. Okay, so now I have a set of resources, and now I would like to show you how we can organize them. And organizing resources, you have a certain numbers of decisions to take. The first decision you want to take is this resource going to be a local resource just for that particular page, or is it going to be global? In fact, you can place resources at multiple levels into your applications. You can place a resource on a button. It's possible. But usually we try to avoid doing that because it's kind of confusing. When you run the application, if you have a styling bug, it can be hard to find out where it comes from. So typically I have either local resource at the page level and global resource at the application level. Then the second decision you need to take is how are you going to organize in resource dictionaries, okay? And that's quite important because it allows you to find things easier later, and also it allows you to work in collaboration with other people easier. So let's start by creating a new resource dictionary. So I usually place them into a new folder, which sometimes I name that styles, sometimes skins, it depends. In fact, I'm not going to use that just for styles, but, you know, it's like almost a convention. Then I'm going to add a new item, select a resource dictionary, and I like to have one resource dictionary for brushes. Why? Because during the design process, you will get a style guide. And the style guide is created by the creative people. And you will have one part of the style guide which typically shows all the brushes that are used in the application. So this is kind of a nice correspondence. You can easily create your brushes, and then after that, do your application using those brushes. And then during the iterative development process, probably you will modify those brushes, which is okay. So let's call that brushes.xaml. Now, one thing you need to know is that when you create a new resource dictionary here, Blend adds it automatically to the global resources here into the application. That's a little bit confusing because sometimes you want that, sometimes you don't. So you need to be careful about that. Thankfully, at least it doesn't save. So you see that the application.xaml was modified, but it has a small star. It's not saved. In that particular case, I want that. The brushes.xaml dictionary is a global one. So let's save. Now, another resource dictionary I want, I like to have one resource dictionary per control type. I like to have one for text, text blocks, things like that. I like to have one for checkboxes, one for buttons, one for sliders, etc. Okay? It's a nice organization. It makes things easier to find. So here in that case, I'm going to have one for the text. Just going to name that textstyles.xaml. Again, it added it to the global resource, which is okay. I can save. Save all in Blend Control Shift S. Good. Now, I also want another one for those buttons, but let's imagine that those buttons are just global to the page. Let's imagine this is a login page, for example. Those buttons are not used anywhere else in the application. So for each page, I also create a resource dictionary. And in this case, I name that main page styles. Now here, I don't want that style to be global. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to close app.xaml without saving. Now this resource dictionary is floating. It's not linked anywhere in my application. But I can easily do that in the resources tab. Can go to the main page, go to the page here, right click, link to resource dictionary, and I can select which resource dictionary I want. Okay, like this, you have a neat organization. For the page, I have a styles, and in the application, I have my global styles. Now, I want to move things around. Well, that's super easy. The brush needs to go into brushes.xaml. Here we are. The text block style and the font family need to go into the text styles. So I'm going to move them. Now, you see what it did? It took the text block styles, and it also detected that I need the font family as a resource, so it moved it too. But in fact, it moved the copy, so now I'm going to delete this one. And then the button style, I'm going to move that into my main page styles. Now, one thing which is interesting about working like that is that it's also going to, first of all, it's easier when the design changes to actually modify it because you can find your things easier. Okay? Also, it's going to help you during the development process because those are all XAML files. And if you work, if you have everything in a big XAML file and two persons at the same time work on that XAML file, you're going to have to merge. Okay? Merging XAML is not super funny. However, I can show you a trick to make it better. Let's go to Visual Studio with this application. And you can format the XAML, and I really encourage you to choose a convention if you're in your firm, firm-wide, okay, for those formatting things. It's not just about, you know, about being, how do you say that? I don't want to say anal because anal is like a bad word. Well, I just said it. So you don't want to be, it's not just about being anal about the XAML styling, right? It's also about efficiency when you merge. So here, I'm going to take my XAML. And I just want to show you my settings into options, text editor, XAML, formatting, spacing. You see, I select here, position each attribute on a separate line. Now, this is going to make my life much easier because when I merge my XAML files, I will immediately see which attributes changed. While if you have all the attributes on one line, on one single line, it's going to be hard to see what changed. Okay? In addition, I like to have the first attribute on the first line, on the same line as the startup tag. That's personal, but this one is really almost a must. Okay? Now I say, okay, this is just the settings, all right? And now, that's my XAML. It is unstructured now, okay? My text block is just one line. But if I go to Edit, Advanced, Format Document, or Control-K, Control-D, okay? Sometimes it's Control-E, Control-D, depending what setting you choose in Visual Studio. Now it's going to format my document, and now I have XAML which is nicely structured. Okay, so I really recommend you to do that. Before you check in, quickly Control-K, Control-D on each file that changed, and then you can do a quick diff to check, okay, what did I change? Please. Unfortunately, no, you have to do that in Visual Studio, which is kind of annoying, it's true. It's one of the feedbacks that I have for the team. You can do, however, source control in Blend. So you can check in and check out in Blend, but you cannot do the formatting in Blend. It's one of the limitations now. Okay, now I can save. Go back to Blend. Blend notices that the file changed because I'm using exactly the same file in Blend and in Visual Studio. Exactly the same project. Now I say okay, and here we go. Okay, so you see later in your application, let's say that the brushes change. Well, very easily you can go here and say, well, I want rather something like that, for example. No problem, okay? Good. So, oh yeah, one thing which is pretty cool is that Blend is helping you to rename. For example, here, if I want to say that's not button style one, but that's login button style, press OK. Blend is telling you, hey, be careful, this style is used, this name is used in two locations. What do you want to do? In that case, I want to update the references. I want to change it, okay? I say OK, and everywhere it changed. In that case, it modified this one was modified before. It shouldn't change. But it modified two files, the main page and also the main page styles .xaml. So that's very useful. You can move things around. You can easily find it. If you select here a text block, for example, and you press here on this small button, you can find all the resources that this particular element is using. So that's also convenient. Okay, let's talk about, how much time do I have, yeah. Let's talk about animations first, and then we'll see how much time we still have. So animations, I'm going to just start a new Blend. Let's close this one. And for animations, I'm just going to do a SQLite application. So now let's do a ball falling down, right? This is kind of the typical animation thing, and it's kind of hard to do in XAML. So I'm going to create a ball, going to the properties, going to change to a radial gradient, going to change to a, to a gradient first, then to a radial gradient. Then I'm going to select the gradient tool and move the center of the gradient, okay? And I will say this black guy here should be rather something like yellow. This one here should be rather something like that. Okay? And for the stroke, I don't want a stroke. Okay, now I'm going to create a new animation. And I'm going to switch to a different workspace. There are many workspaces. I mean, you can create your own workspaces if you want. Here I'm using a built-in one, which is the animation workspace. And now you see there is this red button telling me I'm recording now. So this is a little bit like in Flash for those who did that before. I'm going to move my timeline, for example, to 1 second. And then I'm going to say after 1 second, I'm going to zoom out. Zoom out in Blend, you can use the mouse wheel to zoom in, zoom out. It's pretty cool also. Okay, so now I'm going to take this ball and put it at the bottom. Cool, now I can play the animation, and I see that it's very boring. So now let's play with accelerations. I'm going to select here the time frame, the keyframe, and then you can go and create your own acceleration if you want. For example, I'm going to start very slow, and then as time increases, I'm going to accelerate very hard. And this is what we have. And that's kind of a lead ball. Okay, it falls on. Okay, not very funny. Rather, you really want an easing function. And easing functions are really cool. You have all of those. And if you don't like what you see here, you can create your own super easily. You just have to go in code, subclass easing function, and implement a small method which says, depending on the time, what value you return. So very easy. I'm going to select here the bounce, and here it's how it looks like. So that's already much better. Now I can parameter it, okay? I'm going to say I want a bounciness. The bounciness is a little bit weird because when you go high, it's going to actually bounce less. So for example, I go to 5. Now you see something cool. The small icon here was changed to reflect my changes. Let me show you again. Go to 2. Go to 5. It's not actually an icon. They are actually graphing the easing function when you change the parameters, which I think is pretty cool. So now I have here something which is less bouncy. It looks more like maybe a, you know, balloon with air inside or something like that. So you can easily parameter your thing without having to run the application. Now, of course, this animation here is kind of, you know, it's kind of a special case. In a line of business application, you don't have that. However, in line of business application, you're using animations too, for example, between states, okay, of your buttons or of your UI. And those animations give really feeling to your users. If you do something which has, for example, here a cubic, it's not quite the same as an exponential or, you know, a quartic, for example. Quartic is a more hard transition than cubic, okay? So all those things count. Animations are really hard to get right, and it's also hard, unfortunately, to integrate them. The designer, at least at IdentityMine, this is one of the occasions, one of the rare occasions, where some of our designers go into Blend to create the animation, because they know how to do. Okay, while us as integrators, we try to replicate what they tell us to do, which is not always easy. Okay, so rely on your designers. Sometimes, and this is honestly the worst case, you get from the design firm a video showing the animation that they want, and replicating that is really hard. So I don't recommend it. This is one of the cases where I really put the designer and I tell him, hey, please, can you do me the animation in Blend, in XAML, and then you can import it. For simple animations, after a while, you get used to it, but really, it's the hardest part. Another type of animations, another type of animations are states, and you can actually coordinate very complex animations with states, which is pretty cool. Now I'm going to show you, if I go back here to the application we had, remember where I showed you that when you go here in landscape, well, this is taking probably more than a third of the height of my page, right, which is not really cool. It's taking too much space. So what I can do is when I'm in landscape, I'm going to remove here this title. So to do that, I'm going to go and create states. Now I'm going to name them. One is going to be orientation portrait. The other one, orientation landscape. And now I can design, first of all, I can design how the application is looking like. For example, I can say, well, when I'm in landscape, for some reason, I want this button to be smaller, or in that case, it would rather be bigger. In that case, I'm going to leave it this way because I just want to use the auto sizing, obviously. But you can even go in a more precise way, and you can actually specify the animation which is going to happen. So in that particular case, what I want to do, when I move to the landscape, I want after 0.5 seconds, this is small. Oh, by the way, one trick, right? Don't tell your boss that I told you, but Blend is one of the best excuses to get a second monitor for your laptop. So really, that's cool. You can go to your boss, say, hey, I need a second monitor because I need space to design, right? So anyway, 0.5 seconds, and then I'm going to take this text block up here, and I'm going to move it. Here we go. I'm going to move it here up. Okay? And then I'm going to take this one here, and for example, what I can do is, let me see what I can do here. No, that's not going to work. I can take that one here and increase the margin. Oops. Where am I? Page name. Why is it not increasing the margin? Yeah, am I on the wrong one? No, I'm here. That's correct. Oh, I'm going to increase the margin on the whole thing here. That's going to work. Oh, no. That's super weird. Okay, what did I do? Let me see. I have my content here. I have my title here. All right. I have auto and I have star. That's weird. It worked pretty well this morning. Obviously, I can move things like that, but it's not going to move this. What I can do here is add some negative margin and do something like that. So now that would be my look and feel when I'm in landscape. Oops, probably the page I went too high. It's not a good idea. Sorry about that. It worked perfectly when I tried it before. So the page name, I put it on top of the page here. The text block, I moved everything up. Okay, so like this, I have more space. Now you can play those state transitions by using this guy here. And now you can, it's so small. Now you can play here the transition. So you see what happens. Okay. Now this one is still jumping. So I would probably have to go deeper into my animation and do something where I move it and only at the end of the animation I change the margin. But basically you see my point. Now I have defined those states and I want to transition from one state to the other. In Blend you can do that using behaviors. So I'm going to go here to the behaviors and I'm going to take one called go to state action. I'm going to place it here on the page. And now I'm going to say, Okay, so you see when I created the application, do you remember I told you that I was not sure if it took a 7.0? And actually it did take a 7.0, and I know that because 7.0 doesn't have data trigger. So no problem. We are just going to go to Visual Studio, convert it, and then come back. Just going to take a second. Let's say this card. Here we go. I'm going to go here to the properties, go to 7.1, say yes, yes. Okay, save everything, and now I can go here. And now I can go to my go to state action, and now I have data trigger. Okay, so I want to use here a data trigger to trigger my animation. Before I had event trigger. Event trigger, you can use it, for example, when you want to react to a click on a button or mouse over, these kind of things. Here I want a data trigger, and I'm going to do a binding to a property on the element phone application page. I'm going to take the orientation, and I'm going to say when it is portrait up, I want you to go into the orientation portrait state. And then I'm going to copy and paste. Then the other one, I'm going to say when it is landscape left, landscape left, then I want you to go into orientation landscape. Okay? Now I can go here, can select the device. I have to select the device here because you cannot run the emulator on Windows 8 yet. I suspect it's coming, but I don't have information on that. And then I'm going to try to show you that here, okay? So this is just loading. Okay, so this is the real application running. Okay, and now if I take my device and I change the orientation, you see I have a different, and you can see the animation happening, okay? It's not super good with the resolution, but there is an animation, okay? So you can do some smooth transitions like that. I think the official recommendation for these kind of things is to have to have all your elements twice and then to do some kind of opacity animation between both, but you can also move them around like I showed, and that would work. So you can do really some very complex animations using these kind of things. Okay, let's talk a little bit about templating. Templating, as I said, is very powerful. So I'm going to go out here. I'm going to go back to my design workspace. And for example, let's start here with a button. And I want to change the look and feel of this button. So here in Blend, I can select the button, go to Object. I'm going first to create an empty style. I always apply the template through a style. It's a best practice, okay? For two reasons. First of all, it's easier when you do the design in Blend. Because when you go into the style, you're going to continue seeing the template because you have applied it through the style. And also, when you apply the style to another element, you're going to apply the template at the same time, which is typically what you want. So I create an empty style. Inside the style, I'm going to create an empty template. And for buttons, I typically start with an empty template because buttons are easy. Right, they are not too complex, there are not many moving parts. So, empty template. Now, I don't see my button anymore, it's still here, it's just empty. So now, for example, we can do here something like that. Blend always remembers the last brush that you use. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's really annoying because you have to change everything. But in that case, I'm just going to reuse it, so it's fine. Let's go here, and I'm going to remove the margin. Okay. Now, because my grid is transparent here, you see, I have no brush. So it is going to be transparent not only to the eye, but also to the mouse click. Mouse clicks will go through. Okay. If you want this grid to react to the mouse click for some reason, you might have a reason for that. What you want to do is select here a solid color, but set the alpha to 0. Now, that's transparent. It's not the same as no brush. A transparent brush will react to the mouse click. Okay? You can use this trick to increase, for example, your touch area. When you work on the phone, it's quite nice because you have small buttons, right? And then sometimes it's kind of hard, especially, oh yeah, I just got, let me show you. Oh, here. Those are, this is a speaker present from the Tech Days Netherlands. Those are gloves which you can use with a smartphone. So you can use them with a capacitive screen. It's pretty cool. But when you have, 20 times 20 button to actually touch it is really hard, right? So what you can do here is increase the size of your button, make it transparent, but make it at least, I would say, 40, 50 pixels is probably a good size, right? So here in that case, I'm just going to go back to transparent. Now I have my ellipse. I'm going to add here the content presenter, which is a special type of control that is representing the content of the element, in that case, the button. I'm going to put it in the center, remove the margin. Then I'm going to go back to the style. I can do that here through the crumb bar. And then I can increase here the size. For example, go to 36. Can choose maybe another funny font. I can change the foreground to white. These kind of things. Okay, that would be some simple templating. Now, my button here is going to be very boring in the sense that if I run it, it's not going to react to anything. If I click, it's going to actually actuate the click event, but it doesn't do anything, right? So in Blend, you can easily change that. And again, we will go to the states. And you see here, I have predefined states. Before, I had to write my states myself and do the transition myself. Here, for controls, they are actually defining for each control a number of states. And then you can select them. You can say, for example, for the mouse over state, I want my button to look differently. What I'm going to do here, for the mouse over state, I'm going to revert the gradient. Okay? I could do that with a color animation, but honestly, it's not super easy. Especially if at a later point your colors change. The problem is that when you animate your colors, you cannot use resources for those colors. You have to hard code them. So typically in Silverlight and WPF, or generally in XAML, we don't do that. Instead, I'm going to exit here, and then I'm going to add another one of those ellipses. Then I can go and revert the gradient. And then I'm going to set the opacity on this one to 0. Okay? If you check the default control template of a button, it's exactly built like that. You have layers, then you're going to hide or show a layer depending. Okay, now I'm going to go to mouse over. I'm going to say at mouse over, I want 100% opacity for this one. And I'm going to say the transition must last a certain number of milliseconds. Now you can do transition for all the states, or you can separate per transition. So here I'm going to go, when I go from normal to mouse over, I want the transition to happen in 0.3 seconds, in 300 milliseconds. I can even choose the acceleration. Okay? Then when I go from mouse over to normal, I want it to happen in 0.1 seconds. Then when I go to pressed, I want, first of all, this to be visible. And also, I'm going to take the whole grid, and then I'm going to make here a scale transform, 0.9 times 0.9. Okay, now I can run my application. Now I have my button. It's reacting, and it's reacting. Okay? So quite easy. Now, buttons are really easy to do, but what happens with complex controls? With complex controls, typically, let's take a slider. Slider is not too bad. The worst is a scroll bar. Scroll bar have so many parts which move in every direction. It's really crazy. And now I'm going to copy the template locally. So let's do here, edit template, edit a copy. When you do that, it creates the style. Oh, I think I did something wrong. I am inside the button, sorry. So I want to really go out of the button and now make my slider. Edit a copy. Yes. All right. Now you see, those controls can get quite complex because, first of all, they have two templates. They have one for horizontal and one for vertical. Okay? Now in some cases, you can say, well, here I really just want horizontal. So I recommend you to discard the vertical template because it's going to increase the performance of your application when it starts, when the XAML is passed. Okay? So here I remove the vertical template completely. Now the horizontal template, you can understand how the control is built. First of all, I have a thumb. The thumb is this part here that you can drag. Then I have a grid. And let me just go back to the page and change the value of the slider. Like this, we'll see that a little bit better. You see, I have one grid cell, and another grid cell here. And in fact, I have some buttons on those grid cells. And this button is a repeat button. Why? Because when I click on the track and hold, my thumb is going to move. So I need to actuate that. Okay? So now you can easily go and change the look and feel. Probably you want to leave the horizontal track, what is it called? Horizontal track large change increase repeat button. Okay? It's like a cool name. You also have the decrease, huh? Here. But for example, what we want to do typically on the slider is change the track rectangle. For example, typically in Metro, you don't want to have those rounded corners, so you can remove them. Maybe you want it to be completely white or completely black. It depends. And then you can also style the thumb. The thumb itself is also a control. So you can also do edit template, edit a copy. And now I am acting on my thumb control, and I can change the look and feel and do anything I want. Okay? You remember I told you that in the default Silverlight, they were using also layers. This is what we have here. We have one for the focus, when the element has the focus. We have one when it's disabled. So for example, if I go to the disabled state, you see now it looks almost white because they were showing this additional layer. So by modifying those layers, by adding some, removing some, you can modify the look and feel of the template as you want. Okay, let's talk a little bit about design time data. And here, this is very similar to what I showed yesterday. Just going to show you the value of doing that. So design time data is something which is really useful when you do work in Blend. Those are screenshots from Blend. And I have on the left, it's, and on the far left and the far right, it's a list control, which is completely empty. So you cannot design your data templates here. And then you have some forms, and they are also empty. Okay? Now with design time data, it can look like that. So then you can really do your styling and your templating. This is an example taken from a real life application. It's the SBB mobile application for Windows Phone 7. This is an application we made for the Swiss public transportation system, which allows you to check timetables and also to buy your ticket online, directly from the phone. So here, it doesn't bring really a lot of value, but still, it's nice to see, okay, is it readable? What happens when I change the color of my phone, the SIM of my phone, and these kind of things? On this screen, this is a list of connections. We had some challenges because the text was very small. You have a lot of information on that screen. The small icons here, one with one and two, are showing the occupation, the planned occupation for first class and second class, so that you can decide which train you're going to take. There is also the platform, the planned platform. You also have a small icon, the blue icon, showing if there is a message about this train. So this is real-time information, if you have a platform change or if the train is late or whatever. Another screen which was tough to design is this one, where you have all those small icons which qualify the train. What kind of train is this? And getting that right at this font size and thinking that this is probably going to be used outside with the light of the sun can be really challenging. And the font size, you know, I don't remember. It's probably 8 pixels or 9 pixels, something like that. It's really small. It is still quite readable, however, because this is Sego, and Sego is quite readable, but still, it is a challenge. Another challenge we had is that we didn't have access to the designers so much, because it was right when the first wave of Windows Phone applications was released, and they were super busy. So we did a lot of design in Blend directly, actually. So, of course, the value of design time data is really huge. Now, I have here this application. I'm going to just run it to show you how it works. Now, I can select here a number of files, images in that case, and upload them in parallel. Okay. Now, this application doesn't look too good. And if I go into Expression Blend and open the main page, unfortunately, what we see is that it remains empty. I don't have design time data. Okay? So I'm going to show you how to create that. Here, into my application, I don't go too much into the detail of how the application is structured, because that was the topic of my yesterday's talk. So to know really all the, you know, all the wiring, etc., go and check the talk. It's going to be put online on video. But the important thing is that here I have design objects. Going to include them in the project. And this design file here is going to be used at design time. It is implementing something called iimage file info. Now, this is a little bit of code, okay? Basically, what I say is that this file fulfills a basic functionality, which is to represent a file with name, with the image, the length, and a method which I use to read bytes from this file. At design time, the image is read directly from the DLL. It's called designimage.jpg. That's this one. Okay? So basically what I do is that I include an image into my application, and I'm going to use it only at design time. Now, it sounds a little bit weird because you don't want to release that at production time, right? At production time, no problem. You can go into the CSproj file, into the project file. You can add conditions for those files. And you say condition debug. Like this, it's only going to add it when you are in debug mode, not in release. Now, I also have a design select file service. Now, I need to explain this one. This one is going to implement here iSelect file service. And iSelect file service is going to simply say you can select files. Now, at runtime, when I press on the button, it's actually the page which is going to select those files. Okay, the page implements iSelect file service. It is registered here using something called an IOC container. Again, for the details, go and check my yesterday's talk. And only when I'm not in design mode. So here we are exactly what I was talking before. I was telling you before that you need to be able to differentiate the design time data from the runtime data. Here I am at runtime. Then I'm selecting my files using an open file dialog. However, at design time, I'm going to use this file instead. This file is going to create here 20 design files, so I'm not going to act with the real files. And I'm going to register this class and say that when I am in design mode for the iSelect file service interface, I want to register the design select file service. Okay? Good, there is still one small thing that I need to do. I need to take care of something because you saw that when I was selecting the files, My application was immediately starting to upload. Now, it's this line which does this, okay? I come back from the selection of the files, and then I start uploading. Blend is going to crash if you try that, because Blend cannot handle asynchronous web requests, okay? So I'm going to remove that. I'm going to be just a little bit longer, but I really want to finish that demo, so I hope you don't mind. It's going to take just another few minutes. Then I'm going to go here, and what I'm going to say is, when I am not in design mode, please do the upload, but otherwise, do something else In this case, I'm going to just apply here a random progress number between 0 and 100. Now if I build this, and I go back into Blend, I see that now I have some design time data. Okay? Which is very convenient because now I can do my design visually. For example, let's set that to black. Select here items control. I'm going to edit the template, each one of those files. Now I'm working really on one of those files, okay? I'm going to take this stack panel, change that into a grid, which is kind of hard to do in XAML. Here I can do it very easily. I'm going to change here this one to auto. I'm going to select an image. Oops, not here, here. I'm going to select here an image control. And now, this image control, I don't see anything, so I cannot really do my design. But if I bind, since I have design time data, it's actually going to show me the peacock, okay? Which means that now I can do my design. Let's put it here, put it in the first column. Just going to go a little bit faster. I'm just going to take that here and move everything in the column number one, which is the second column, okay? Here we go. And now I have my design. Just need to change the color of those brushes because right now I cannot read. Put them white. And you see that with when I have that visually, it's really much easier. I don't need to run my application every time, measure, and all that. And now if I run, well, it's going to look just the same. Now those techniques can be used also in Windows 8, also with those new Metro applications. And again, if you have a chance to go and check my talk from yesterday, I showed that. Okay. And now we see that the pictures are showing up. So it's nicer. Okay. Good. I'm a little bit pressed by time. So just to finish, Expression Blend is really a very precious helper. So I recommend you to check it out. Okay. You have multiple ways to do that. I'm going to come back to that. With Blend, there is a new role. Okay, it's not necessarily a new person that you have to hire on your team, but it has to be a person who thinks a little bit more like a designer, if that's a developer, or a little bit more like a developer, if that's a designer. So this integrator role. The value of design data, I think, is proven. You can work so much faster. Just want to show you a couple of tools very fast. Ruler is a really cool tool, which you can use to measure things on the screen. So I'm just starting it now. Okay, it's here. Now I can select here, and I can see, select between pixels. So that's really nice. It can be very useful, or I can here do something like that and see the width and height of this box. So that's a tool that I use a lot. Another tool that you can use is so-called on-screen calipers. You laugh, but it's actually really useful. Now, this is a real caliper. It's not an on-screen. I didn't find one which works fine on Windows 8, so that's why I'm not demonstrating that. But you can find, there are multiple vendors, and you can buy it and measure on the screen. It can be useful as well. And finally, this is the address where you can find the free PSD viewer that I was showing before. All right, I'm almost done. I recommend you to give Blend a try. The version for the Windows Phone is free, so you have no excuse, okay? And there is a trial version for Silverlight WPF. It's also in MSDN, by the way. In Visual Studio 11, which is for Windows 8 development, Blend was actually integrated into the Visual Studio Designer, so now the Visual Studio Designer is Blend. It's not as, they don't have all the features that you have in the standalone. For example, animations or templates, things like that. But at least it's the same code base, so it makes sense. Talk to designers, that's for the developers out there. Train your eyes. There are really good ways to do that. There are good books, okay? Don't Make Me Think is a really good one, for example, or there are multiple books. There are some very good documentaries, especially like Helvetica and Objectified. So those are two really good documentaries about industrial design and all that. Really cool. And finally, I want to thank you very much for your patience, and I hope you are motivated to use Blend. If you have questions, I will happily take them, but if you feel like going back home, I won't blame you. Thank you very much.